Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside. Happy Monday, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Oh!
And let me just clear something up right off the bat here.
Sure, go ahead.
Begin this week. I did not pick the Bucks to go to the NBA Finals in the East. That was Mike Harmon who picked the Bucks on the show in our big NBA preview. He picked the Bucks to go to the Finals. I said, dude, you really look what could happen when they play the Nets. They could lose a game by 39. You said, no, shut up, Jason. I'm picking the Bucks. I said, nah, I'm telling you, man, you might not want to. The Nets, they look like they're ready to explode. Even if one of the big three gets hurt, I don't know the – no, I want the Bucks. You kept saying it. I want the Bucks. And I told you not to pick the Bucks to go to the finals, and you did.
What's worse, buddy? What's worse, a nonsensical hot take or just out-and-out lying?
Oh, it's not a lie if you believe it.
No, that's true. Okay. So as long as you want to keep believing that, that's fine. Look, before the season,
I completely said, don't take the Bucks. Before the season,
stay away. Love the Nets, and then decided, well, everybody's taking the Nets, so screw this. So I had the supremely dysfunctional Miami Heat in the East, which were vanquished by your Bucks. And now we have this disaster tonight. Just an absolute... Hey, what gets you through the season? Our size, our ability to compete in the low post. You know what we're going to do? We're going to try to match outside shooting with this team. Watch how that's going to happen.
I'll tell you, if you said to me a week ago, all right, you know, my picks for the NBA Finals were the Bucks and the Clippers, right? I picked Bucks and the Clippers. If you said to me a week ago, all right, you have to take every dollar you own and put it on one of these two teams to make the finals, I would have taken. Oh, I said, well, that's easy. I take all my money, I put it on the Bucks, and I push it in, right? Hey, I'm going up. Bucks look great in the first round. The Nets are injured. They got problems. Yeah, the Clippers, come on. Clippers might even make it out of the first round. Luka Doncic is doing all kinds of great things. A week later, I'd be, I'm ruined. I've just ruined my family because I bet on the wrong team.
But you know what? You'd have the opportunity to build it up again. Oh. You'd be a great American success story.
Oh, a week ago, I would have said, oh, no, Bucks. Yeah, if I got to pick between the Bucks and the Clippers, but look at the Clippers. If you had the Bucks tonight and you were getting 40, you won. If you were you had the Bucks tonight and you were getting 38, sorry, you lost. 125-86 is the final score. This game was never close. Brooklyn just hits all kinds of threes to start the game. Look, how do you talk about this game? It's pretty easy. Brooklyn shot 21 out of 42 from three-point range. That's the game. I mean, that's everything. That's the game right there. And the Nets, even without James Harden, who knows when he's going to come back, with Kyrie, Kevin Durant's got 32, and he looked tonight clearly like he was a guy on a mission. And the Nets just hit everything they possibly could think about from three-point range. Even Blake Griffin hit a three. There was nothing they couldn't do tonight. And now the Bucks are going home going, what's just happened to us? What has just happened? We were feeling great, and now the Nets are two-thirds their team. They're still missing the big guy. The best guy is supposed to make them a title contender, and they just blew the crap out of us by 40. Oh, we are in a lot of trouble. This is a shocking start to this series for the Bucks, and clearly, you know, look, for everybody who wants to walk around and go, okay, the Nets here, the Nets here. You know, we all want to point to what players could leave, what players could wind up staying, what players could wind up going, all of these things, all this stuff happened. It's like, oh man, now it's like we don't know what's going on. You know, I mean, you look at where the Bucks are with how it trying to build for the future, and how many years have you gone through this now? and you've not been able to build, this is a really difficult two-zip lead to go to, because clearly the Nets can get the players to go play there. I mean, look, they had no players a year ago. They had no players. It's like they were an expansion team. They had no players. And here they are now. Hey, guess what? We're up 2-0. We're steaming on to the Eastern Conference Finals. And the Bucks, who have been trying so hard to build around Giannis for so long.
Yeah.
It's like, let's put this. Oh, it's so important to put this piece in and this piece in. And let's do this and put this piece in. This. Oh, this is careful. Okay, let's take it. Let's take out these pieces and put this piece in. And they still can't get there. And the Nets are like, yeah, we're just going to start over with three guys. And yeah, we're better. I mean, it's really frustrating if you think about the Bucks taking all these years to build on Giannis. The Nets just say, oh yeah, we're just making just make some instant coffee. That's just as good.
You bring in Holiday, you have all these moves that are like, all right, they're so much better than last year. That was great. They won the rematch against Miami. And now it's another step up in class. And to your point about the Nets, remember what they sent to the bubble? Hey, anybody want to play for us? Anybody going to show up? Like, that was just an absolute mess trying to figure out even putting a squad together. And then just like that, you snap your fingers. These guys come back healthy and go through. And showing once again the regular season, it's a nice entertainment vehicle. But there was no feeling out process in this game. This is what isn't Mayweather and Paul and all the belly aching on money spent there by folks that throw $50 away on a drink and a burger every weekend. Just quiet. You liked it, or as Durant would say, don't watch. Here they just came out punching. Right. This was ring the bell. All right. I just want to finish this so I can sit down and watch the backups. Go to work. And everybody got to know the Nets backups today because you had an awful lot of time. That first quarter felt like, you know, there's three of them out there. Yeah, hit the one in the middle or try to. And instead, just awful. If you read any social media from the first half, it was all about Chris Middleton. Like, what, Giannis gets a free pass? and then finally the videos started making their way. I don't know if it took more time to edit them than normal or whatever, but all of a sudden it's like, hey, here's Durant scoring on Giannis. Here's Durant stopping on a dime and Giannis running past him. Here's Blake Griffin D-ing up Giannis. and now Blake Griffin getting a second life, right? A couple of games of hustle plays, big moments in the starting lineup. Goes for what? You talked about the three-pointer that he hit, but he also finished the game with 7 points and 8 boards plus 12 on the night. And all the hustle plays, all the little things he's doing. It's like Detroit suing for malpractice or a contract that he calling him a fraud as he's running around here in Brooklyn. You know, winning's contagious, infectious. And all of a sudden, you're looking at your Bucks and Budenholzer, is he done? Does Giannis get him shown the door to where we get another, hey, they mutually agreed to part ways line? Because nobody gets fired anymore. We mutually agreed to part ways.
Oh, yeah. This is like when you go on a cooking show and one person spends like 2 hours making this incredible dish that's Mediterranean flavor, and they use some Cajun spices and they brought in a little bit of Italian flavor, and it took all this care to make this food to make sure it tastes good, and the other side makes instant coffee and wins. Yeah, hey, I just made a cup, warm it in microwave. Hey, that's really good coffee. That's better than this thing that took so long to make. Yeah, hey, congratulations, you win. It's so frustrating that the Bucks have spent all this time and the Nets just go, yeah, we're going to throw three guys out there. We're going to beat you. How about that? Good luck.
They decided they wanted to play together, and here they are. And guess what? In the regular season, they didn't even play 10 games together.
No,
and you know what's even better? In this game, Harden's in street clothes cheering, and he had more impact on the game than the damn Bucks did.
It's so frustrating. Twitter it out about a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover is accepted at 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. That's discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations, they do apply. So we'll have more on this game coming up. We got the nightcap getting set to tip off in about 5 to 10 minutes from now. But I want to say this, Mike, and I'm completely serious when I say this. Completely serious when I say this. One of the best predictions I had from preseason in the NBA was that Tom Thibodeau would win Coach of the Year. Right, I told you it was there for him, right? Because he could cut through the clutter. It's high profile. If he turns the Knicks into a really good team, it's going to happen. And this is before the season started. I gave you Tom Thibodeau, and boom, he was named the NBA's Coach of the Year on Monday. All right, now that's great. You can say, oh, Jason, you're going to sit here and take a victory lap and say, yeah, I told you so about Tom Thibodeau. Hang on.
It's a lesson about grinding, people. It's a lesson about going to work, putting your shoes on, and getting in the mud, the muck, and the mire, and getting after it.
But let me say this, because I'm being completely serious when I say this. Right, Tom, like I told you, he was going to win Coach of the Year. Look, I mean, it's awesome, right? This is just unbelievable, right? I'm going to say you right now, the Knicks need to fire Tom Thibodeau.
what if this is as good as it gets?
Tom Thibodeau.
Are they going to hate him by mid-season next year?
Nope. Here's the thing. I'm going to say it, and you're going to agree with me.
Oh, boy.
Okay, you ready for this? Okay,
sure.
I'm serious. I'm going to say it, and you're going to agree with me. All right? The Knicks should fire Tom Thibodeau. They should absolutely fire him. Coach of the Year, yeah, great. No, it's great. Tom Thibodeau, the Knicks should fire him. You ready?
Sure.
What happened this weekend? We found out that Jason Kidd wasn't going to go to the Blazers, even though he was Damian Lillard's hand-picked guy.
Is he finally going to be able to take out Vogel? That's what I want to know. That was what my initial reaction. We were on air as that broke, and it's like, wait a minute. Did he finally stage his coup behind the scenes? We just don't have an announcement? But continue your line of reasoning.
So, obviously, we knew the end of the week, last week, that, look, Damian Lillard wanted Jason Kidd to be his head coach. Now, mm-hmm. things got really weird. We'll get into it. And so Jason Kidd said, listen, this is too strange of a situation for me, so I am backing out of this. And I'd love to be a head coach, but it's not going to be with the Blazers. Now the Blazers are stuck. Okay, now we'll get to that part of it because, boy, now you talk about a guy that's learning how to be a star. It's Damian Lillard. But here's the thing, right? So we know. Jason Kidd's Damian Lillard's guy. The Knicks need to fire Tom Thibodeau, hire Jason Kidd, and then you'll get Damian Lillard.
Oh, and then he'll
boom!
Then he'll force a trade.
Exactly. And the Knicks get Damian Lillard. How does no one see this? How have the Knicks not done this yet? I mean, really, that's how it happens. Hey, Tom, that's great. Here's your Coach of the Year award, and they hand him the award, and we need your keys. We need your keys to the locker room and the weight room. And yeah, let me have that, yeah, because we're bringing – don't look that way. I told you to bring
address.
Kid in the other door. You bring Kid in the back so he doesn't see Thibodeau when they're walking around. Hey, sorry, Tom. I know it's awkward, but still. There you go. There you go. You fire Tom. Coach of the Year, he's great. Yeah, but we can get Damian Lillard. Yeah, fire him and bring in Damian Lillard. And then that's good. All of a sudden, the Knicks have their star. We're good to go.
That's pretty clean. You don't even need to have like 9 steps to this.
No,
and a bunch of things fall into place. Very, very easy. You're fired. Here's Jason Kidd. And then you still have to trade for Damian Lillard, right? I mean, because he's got his extension in place.
That's okay.
You have to
That's
trade
all right.
for him. And I don't know that you have enough assets. We've already been talking about the fact that you need 2 more players.
Yeah, look, I like Julius Randle, but if I could go out and get Damian Lillard, I'll be okay with that. I'm all right with that.
Well, of course you are. You'll give up anybody on that squad
and
send their family along with them.
Oh, of course. Look, that's how I'll even make it happen. Listen, you need a head coach. Right, we need Damian Lillard. We're going to hire Jason Kidd. You give us Lillard. We'll give you Tom Thibodeau, and we'll give you Julius Randle. And that deal is done. It's done right away. I've just remade the Knicks.
I love the way the brain works. Like, you know what? We need to get to that next stop. How do we do that? Well, we can get a superstar. How do we do that? We fire our Coach of the Year.
Yes.
And I promised people on Twitter earlier, I said, look, you always have to beware hot take nonsense, but if you want a little more, come listen to us starting at 7 p.m. tonight. I had no idea this was in the holster for you as we jumped once we got past that horrible NBA game that we watched tonight.
I will get him on the air tonight, and I'll say, Tom, I talked about you all season. You are awesome, man. You got to go. I'm sorry. Hey, congratulations on Coach. Yeah, that you're done.
Can you leave the blueprint there for Jason Kidd as to how to get these guys to buy into your kind of thing? Because anything beyond that is going to be a little easier on a day-to-day grind. So, yeah, we'd appreciate that.
It's like after Gene Hackman fires the one coach in Hoosiers, and he says, let's be real friendly here. You know, first of all, you know, my name's – second of all, your coaching days are over. And he walks out, and he goes, I'll leave the basketball. And he drops the basketball. It's like, hey, Tom, that's great. Leave the basketball. All right, great. Thank you. Yeah. All right. I'm your new coach, everybody. I'm Jason Kidd. You know me, right? And here's our new player. Hey, Damian Lillard comes in, dribbling around, making shots. Oh, it's great. A big laser light show comes in. Oh, we got Lillard. This is the best. Oh, Tom is great. Sorry, Tom. You got to go.
Did anybody tell the players they got traded? Anybody? Nope. Oh, boy.
There we go. That's how it's going to happen right there. Fire Tom. Great guy. Great coach of the year. Great. Told you it was going to happen. Boom. Fire him. Fire him. Jason Kidd. Damian Lillard. Boom. Just think about that. It's genius, if you think about it. It's genius. No one would ever think about it. It's genius.
Oh, it's Machiavellian. Yeah, no, it's definitely a different way of doing business. I don't know how well that works for you long term, but for this one move, genius.
I'll worry about tomorrow. Just get me through today. I'll worry about that when it happens. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Even after 7 years, we can still surprise each other.
Yeah, no kidding.
Coming up next, speaking of surprises, Aaron Rodgers isn't going to come to any offseason activities for the Packers. The Packers are worried this has divided the fans. What's going to happen next? All that and more straight ahead. Jason Lock and Forrest stops by. CBS Sports NFL Insider with that. The latest on Russell Wilson, who's going to be back at practice for the Seahawks. That's next. I'm Ron Bergen. That's next right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Yo.
Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover is accepted at 99% of places in the U.S. to take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. That's discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen report limitations. They do apply. Well, early in the first quarter, it is the Nuggets on top of the Suns right now, 18-13. And if the first 6 minutes are any indication of how the series is going to go, oh, my goodness, is this going to be fun.
Oh, yeah.
There's already so many big plays, so much fun. And this is just the first 5.5 minutes of this game. Really, this is going to be an entertaining as hell series.
Big contact, big plays. DeAndre Ayton going deep and coming up with a couple of big thunder dunks to get the crowd fired up. No, it's fun times, man. Let's go. This is what we wanted. You know, the coach of the year that got Rob Monty Williams, his team is really going to come out fired up to show that the Thibodeau choice was
wrong. He didn't get robbed. Tom Thibodeau is the right coach. He just needs to be fired so the Knicks can hire Jason Kidd so they can get Damian Lillard. I mean, it's easy, right?
Story with him winning the award and then getting fired for you.
Yes. He wins that night, and then it's your last night as well. Like, he's actually giving the speech at the lectern, and they're coming up, they're taking this Knicks hat off, and they tell, hey, can you take this polo off and just put on this generic red and blue polo? Great, thanks, put that on, we're going to take
They ripped away the name sign and the whole thing.
Yeah. They rip the Knicks logo off the dais, just put generic NBA logo up.
You're insane.
So we'll have more on the NBA in a bit. I mean, I think that's the attitude that had cryptocurrency making so much money. Joining us now on the hotline, there's some huge stories in the National Football League. CBS Sports NFL insider extraordinaire, friend of the show, who's just finishing a book on Gary Gates' life. Now, the greatest lacrosse player ever. Now he's going to coach Syracuse lacrosse. The book will be out sometime next year. It is over 1,500 pages. It is Jason Lock and Four. What's happening, Jay?
Yeah, but I have my work cut out for me. I thought I was working on some box wine, but apparently I'm working on the Gary Gates. I don't know, what's it going to be? Eight-part documentary? I don't even know. Once we do the book, we got to turn it. It could be longer than The Last Dance.
It could.
Wow.
At this point, would you say 15,000 pages?
Well,
1,500. Either way, that's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. Listen, but here's the thing: you will need the box wine regardless.
Just to get through the day, brother.
You'll need. was that your nickname in college? Box wine? Is that what they called? Hey, box wine.
No, here. I was not a wine drinker in college whatsoever.
Oh, okay.
It was Mad Dog 40/40 or 2020.
Saw 40
ounces. It was whatever you could get your hands on. Yeah, a lot of beast. I mean, I don't think there was a party
Milwaukee's
in Syracuse
best?
That had a keg of anything other than the beast that I can remember.
Hey, Peels as well. Peels was big in Syracuse, too, when I was there. I remember that. Peels was big.
Yes, sir.
All right, so speaking of big, let's start. We'll get to Julio Jones in a second because you got some scathing stuff on the Falcons. But the latest drama with Aaron Rodgers.
Fair, huh? But scathing.
It's fair, but scathing. But it is still scathing. I mean, it's fair.
It's warranted. It's fair. Do you think it's unwarranted?
No, I
did you find it factually incorrect?
No, I didn't. No, and the spelling was good.
I did catch one typo. I just reread it a minute ago.
Did you really have a typo?
It took my timeline. And I was like, oh, wait, we've got it going where it's supposed to be doing, but okay.
Damn autocorrect.
You know, but it's like you birthed the baby and it's out in the world, and it's like, what are you going to do now? The belly button's in the wrong spot. Eh, whatever.
Yeah. You write this whole thing, and the first thing someone writes back is, you misspelled warrant.
No, there were no comments. I don't think that. I think we might have disabled comments. You mentioned that because I haven't looked forever at a comment. But I'm like, I caught that mistake, and I was like, let me scroll down and see if they killed me for that mistake. And then I didn't see any comments. So maybe I didn't click on the right thing, or maybe we don't even have comments anymore. I don't know.
Oh, all right. I'm going to look and see where you're ranking.
I'm a real authority on nothing.
Yeah.
Except for apparently scathing Falcons columns, which I guess I'm at the head of the class.
That should be on your Twitter profile, authority on nothing. Jason Lockenford. That's it. Just say right there. All right, well, before we get to the Falcons, let's start with Aaron Rodgers, because the latest drama, we know that he's unlikely for Packers minicamp. We saw Mark Murphy say that this whole situation is dividing the fans. They could potentially fine him. This is just getting absolutely insane.
It is what it is, right? I feel like we've had this conversation so many times, and I've been saying the same thing, and I'll say it again. He's told his people since before the draft, and it got out at the draft, that he's done with these dudes. He doesn't want to play for them anymore. He doesn't want to be associated with them. And by them, I mean the people who effectively run the organization. Mark Murphy. I mean, it's not even really duty. Mark Murphy, the board of directors there, the decision makers at the highest level of that franchise, he feels deceived by, and he's done with them, and that's been clear. And he's been in Hawaii, he's been hosting Jeopardy, he's been giving zero indication that he's going to be in Wisconsin anytime soon, and that's going to extend to the entire spring and this off-season program, and then we'll find out how stuck in he is come August and September. Again, he's telling people, they've seen the last of me there. Could that change between now and then? Sure. Could they do something to wet his whistle or build some sort of bridge or find a mechanism of some sort to put this genie back in the bottle for a little while? Maybe. Or does he just relent and say, screw it, I still want to play football. I'm, 38. I don't have that many years left. I'll go do this for another year, because the whole plan when they drafted Jordan Love was for me to be out there by 2022 anyway. So we'll see. You know what I mean? Does he waver? Does it soften? Or does he tell him to go to hell? We'll find out when real stuff starts happening in August.
Go to hell, one of the comments I read under the Falcons article as related to the trade of Julio Jones.
Somebody can see him. I couldn't, which is probably for the best.
But Julio Jones sent to Tennessee, goes runs with A.J. Brown. But you've got the column up, and I agree 100%. What are you doing with Matt Ryan?
Well, I mean, they've already made their – they've quadrupled down on him at this point. So.
Yep.
They're stuck with him for at least another year, maybe two. The problem for them is Matt Ryan is still functional enough, and he's got just enough around him to mess around and have you flirt with 500, which is just going to sort of perpetuate
taunting you.
Your middling disaster because you're going to find yourself still on the road to nowhere with a roster that's now a year older, that's still devoid of additional draft picks and tradable commodities. And now it's going to be like, he's a year older. We didn't really want anything with him last year. We might be stuck with him for another year. Damn, but we're picking 15th. So do we want to trade, two future ones and a two to go get a quarterback who then has even less around him when we could have just taken a quarterback? Because we were trading our best player for pennies on the dollar anyway. And everybody in the league knew that. Julio knew it himself. I mean, it was just a matter of who are they going to get that second-round pick from and how early in June is it going to happen. But it couldn't happen until June because of their own miserable salary cap situation, which they created by overpaying habitually their own players and some dudes from other teams, too. And the owner sticking with a coaching staff and a management front office regime that had put together Frankenstein team after Frankenstein team after Frankenstein team that really only started playing football once the pressure was off. And, we're 1-7 or 0-6 or 0-5. And so we'll sling it around a little bit and win some games now. I mean, everybody's seen it. It is what it is. But they are such a mishmash of players and philosophies and there's no easy way out. I would much rather be where the Dolphins were 2 years ago, you know, shedding Cam Wake and shedding Robert Quinn and shedding Ndamukong Suh and stripping it down to the bones to see what's on the other side or what the Browns did a couple of times. That's not a whole lot of fun either, but at least that's a plan. That's a direction. That's a sort of cogent identity. I don't know what the hell the Atlanta Falcons are.
You know, the funny thing is I'm looking through everything right now, your column, and I see that here's a couple of mistakes people are referring to. You mentioned Matt Ryan. It's a picture of Chris Chandler. So that's the first one.
That I would have nothing to do with. So I couldn't even. Although I guess I should take one for the team and say that's me. But I still actually just email my copy in like completely raw. I don't know how to code or people who do my job who actually know what they're doing, they can like sort of HTML it themselves or whatever. But me and Prisco, because we're dinosaurs, we just, you know what I mean? Like, we write in our little WordPerfect documents, and then we just email it in, and then we don't know. Eventually, mysteriously, it pops up on the internet. Whereas, like, the people like Brinson and Ryan Wilson, you know what I mean? They can write their own copy and splice in their own little cute headlines and pictures and stuff, and then they send it to some other set of eyes to look at it, but ostensibly they know how to actually get it from their laptop to the real world. Pete and I don't know how to do that. Or we probably should by now, because, I mean, he's been there like 20 years and I've been there 10. Maybe it's we choose not to learn and we hide behind this, but that's a reality. I would love to see his top 100 list, what that must look like for the poor schlub who's then got to, like, turn, you know what I mean, like, code everything and space it all out and make it look pretty on a page. Yeah. Are we off the rails enough yet? Or we
no, that's great.
You want to talk about the U.S.-Mexico match last night? That was something.
How about that?
I'm picturing you typing, and it's like Creed in The Office when he thinks he's on the internet and he's just on a Word document and he's saying all these things.
No, trust me. I know I'm just on a Word document. I am aware of that much.
All right. Hey, so let's take the flip side of this now. As much as you don't like it for the Falcons, how much do you like it for the Titans?
I like it a lot. Look, an ownership group's willing to take on $15.3 million in salary in the middle of June when a lot of people pretty much everybody spent their budget and done what they expected to do. I think it's desperately needed for them. I did not like their offseason. I thought it was a bad defense that, at least on paper, could be getting worse. And I felt like they were woefully lacking for some other element on offense that would make them more difficult to defend. When you look at the trajectory of that offensive line, when you look at what happened to their tight end room, and then you look at this as a team a couple years ago that's drafting Corey Davis really high and signing Adam Humphrey, and it's like, okay, well, they got two outside guys and a slot guy, and Jonnu Smith's a really good move tight end, and then a lot of those dudes I just mentioned are gone. But, you know, you flip Corey Davis at whatever, you know, nine a year into Julio at 15. Yeah, that changes a lot. I still think Derrick Henry is headed for a step back here at some point. Maybe it's not in 2021, but it wouldn't shock me if it is. I don't think that they're truly a Super Bowl contender, but I like their playoff odds a whole lot more now than I did 48 hours ago.
Got to take those extra steps as you can. So any excitement, any other fireworks that we're expecting other than Rodgers not showing up for training camp? These mini camps, the mandatory that might upset anybody's apple cart?
No, I mean, nothing. I mean, this one is right. Been long and drawn out and personal and heated, and we're not even to the middle of June yet. So I think it's probably in its own category. I mean, there's guys disgruntled about the contracts. There's dudes looking for extensions. But generally, you show up for these, you know, these 3 days when they can really find you if you don't. And you collect your per diems, and you know that after this, you're not to be anywhere until July 27th. So no, I don't think there's anything close to the scale of this Rodgers versus Patrick's thing, versus Packers thing.
You can follow him on Twitter at Jason Lockenfora. That is at Jason Lockenfora. And again, the big column on the Falcons is up on CBS Sports. Jay, as always, buddy.
Scathing,
but factual, with maybe one typo, but that's it.
One typo. Let's be clear.
Buddy, as always, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next
week. My pleasure. Have a wonderful night, gentlemen.
See you, buddy.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
I'm an ass man.
Right now in the National Basketball Association. 10 minutes to go in the second quarter, Denver has hopped out to a 38-31 lead over the Suns. Brooklyn wins a close one over Milwaukee, 125-86. We'll get to that coming up in a bit. But the big news out of the league today, and I'll tell you, there's another star, and I put that in quotes, another personality who's going to wind up being traded this offseason, is going to be Kristaps Porzingis. Now, I have two thoughts on this after the report today that comes out that Porzingis often feels like an afterthought to Luka Doncic. You know, the guys don't hang out together, and he's disappointed with how things have turned out in Dallas. Okay, so my first thought is, you know what, dude? Suck it up. Nobody feels bad for you. You complained and moaned and wanted out of New York so badly, and they were going to build the bleeping team around you.
Oh, all
they
his
were
family
building
members?
The team around you.
Yeah.
Everything. They were giving you everything, and you know, I want out. I don't want to be here. Well, you know what? They gave you exactly what you wanted. They traded you to a team with an up-and-coming star, and now you don't like it? Oh, yeah, my heart bleeds for you. Suck it up and play. They were going to give you everything you wanted, and you didn't want it. Oh, yeah, I feel so bad for Kristaps Porzingis, except not at all. Suck it up and go play better. Go be a guy that they can count on. Go be a guy that's maybe more than a 16-11 guy, because there's about 50 of those guys in the NBA right now. Go suck it up and play better. I have zero sympathy for him.
Cuban last month had said there were some dust-ups and some back-and-forths in terms of, you know, how they were playing together on the court. Porzingis, after the game, quote, "Whatever I do, it seems like it's always something. I just try to be as professional as I can." All right, well, I want to ask Rick Carlisle, why is he hanging out at the three-point line all the time? Dude, 7'3". Get down on the low block, damn it, and take advantage of it. Look, I love the, hey, peekaboo, there he is flying in for a dunk and all. That's fine. Twice a game. Otherwise, he's been a non-factor. He stands out on the perimeter and is not really a force at all on the block. And it changes the game. Right, because you got Boban. I like Boban. Boban's not the guy to run everything through down low. Big rebounds at times, but not exactly what's the word I'm looking for? The finesse as well in terms of the offensive skill set. And Luka's playing oftentimes 1.5 on 5, right, with the way these guys are standing around. You get a little bit of that Jordan or LeBron James watching at times. See what I did? I made the comparison. Ooh, go kill me. The fact is they're just waiting for Luka to see what he's going to do next. And for Porzingis, yeah, it happened in New York and it happened here. 13 points, what, 5 boards in this series? It was a virtual non-factor for most of it.
And I'll tell you this. Here's the second part. It's so awesome the Knicks are in such a better spot than they ever were with him. It's just so great. I mean,
you loved him, though.
For losing to the Hawks the way they did, it's just so awesome that, hey, here's a Knicks win today. Tom Thibodeau, Coach of the Year. Kristaps Porzingis, I'm an afterthought with the Mavericks. Oh, yeah, boo. The other thing is this. Wow. He's not going to have much longer there because he's going to get traded. Because the Mavericks understand that building the team the way they have is not working. And they're going to tear it down and build a new supporting cast around Luka Doncic, which you kind of have to do. Porzingis is still young enough, and with only a couple of years left on his contract, could another team pick him up and hope? Yeah, and it'll be someone that another team will want. And it doesn't matter if they don't get a lot for him, because it's not like they gave up a lot for him. So it's not like, oh my goodness, the Knicks fleeced Porzingis. Basically gave Porzingis away, and now the Mavericks are going, oh, now we see why you kind of gave him away. I see that. So somebody else will want him, because the guy is really talented. But he can't stay healthy, and clearly he's not a pressure guy. Right, so that's the thing. So they will get rid of him, and they will just mainly trade him for nothing because they're going to try to find a way to get money where they can use it to build more around Luka Doncic.
How dare you? He played 43 games this year.
That's true. Yeah, that is. Yeah, 43 out of 72.
43 out of 82. This year. 57 last year.
Yeah.
Missed all of 2018. Yeah. 48 the year before that. Not exactly coming from a position of strength in any kind of whining. Not often I'm going to agree with you, but yeah, it doesn't work. How many times did you watch the series? And look, you picked the Clippers. I picked the Clippers, but you know me, I like chaos. And hi to our AM570 listeners tonight here in Los Angeles. You know, watching the series, it's like, would you get involved? Would you do something? Just standing around waiting and not really being active to give Luka Doncic any support. I mean, you look at it, Tim Hardaway Jr. was the only guy that on a game-to-game basis seemed to have some level of consistency. And again, I mentioned Boban. You know what you're going to get from him in his minutes. But Porzingis, just a great disappointment. You're expecting that next level to come, and it never does.
Nope. There you go. Congratulations. Good luck. Hey, look, Cuban was like, oh, what a great – he's envisioning championships with the Dodgers and Porzingis. I said, okay, he's talented, but just wait till you need him and see if he's around. And now it's not even that. It's now, okay, he's hurt. Now he's not giving you anything close to what you need out of a 1A guy. If Porzingis is the second best guy on your team, you're not going to win a lot of games. That's not a great team. If he's the third best guy, okay, maybe you got something there and you're not counting him for so much, but he's not going to be happy being the third best guy. I mean, I don't know what the guy wants. I really don't. I don't know what he wants.
Get big minutes, right? Even when he is there, you can't get big minutes out of him. On average, for his career, you're looking at 31 minutes a night. So in crunch time, does he have anything left? Even if he is available to you. And as we've seen, the answer is decidedly a no.
Oh, man, I'll tell you, this is some kind of story. Suddenly, now, it's not shocking because you thought it was coming, but just the fact that, hey, I'm an afterthought. Dude, you can't stay healthy. You're not the guy, and they gave you so much money to not be this guy. Oh, it's just amazing. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. So if Kristaps Porzingis would have to just suck it up, I mean, and he will until they trade him because they are going to trade him the offseason.
Go back to the Knicks.
Hey, guys, maybe I was a little too hasty. Man, you know, hey, I like kind of like the defensive philosophy of Tom Thibodeau. There's one big NFL team that needs to suck it up. We'll tell you who and why coming up next, Fox.